You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
And welcome in MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Reds edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Mark Sheldon, and as always, close coverage of the Cincinnati Reds. And Mark, here's the deal. I look back at the previous weekend series against the San Francisco Giants, and I know we're talking about the defending world champs. They've won three of the last five World Series. I get it. And the Reds haven't gotten off to a good start. So the fact that the Giants might sweep the Reds, that's one thing. But the fact that they scored 30 runs in 3 days, because I just don't think of the Giants as that potent an offense, and I think the numbers to this point in the season would bear that out, that is what would concern me.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Giants and the Reds had the same exact record going into the four-game series, and boy, the Giants looked like a lot better team those last three games. The Reds won the first game, and they looked pretty good. They felt like they're having some momentum coming out of the Atlanta series. And then Kerplatt, 30 runs in three games. Really, it all came down to the starting pitching didn't have it. He got three straight outings of less than five innings. The one surprise, I guess, would be Mike Leake, who had only one run allowed in 22 innings, comes out and gets hammered and gives up nine earned runs. Vescalfani's been struggling lately. Marquis has been struggling lately. So, of course, that led to the short outings, to longer bullpen outings, which is not something they wanted to do. So it's been a mess of a weekend for them.
But an off day on Monday, I'm sure that was a welcome one. And then two quick games in Kansas City, although, again, another team coming off quite a season and maybe not playing too poorly. So, you know, it never seems to let up. But overall, again, I feel like we always come back to the same place, Mark. Here are the Reds at 18-20. I mean, that's not the type of thing where one would necessarily push a panic button. I think there's a sense that they've got to be a better team than that. Does the frustration just continue to build? Is there a sense maybe that they're seeing signs of climbing out of it? What is the general sense?
There's no frustration other than the idea of losing. Of course, they don't like that, but you don't get the sense of abandonship or things like that. It's not like these guys are sitting around just kind of already ready to write off the season, and that's nothing like that at all. I mean, they're only, like you said, 18-20. The National League has not been the most dynamic league this season. There's a lot of teams that are kind of treading water and sitting around 500 or just above it, and so they are very much in it, and they're in third place in their division. So it's not that, but at the same time, there is a recognition, especially by the manager, that some things that they've been doing through this first month plus that haven't been working had to be addressed. And you know, you're past the point now where it's, well, okay, we've given a look at these certain guys that are struggling and getting past that it's early part, and now they're into the they should be better or we have to change something part. And they did that with Kevin Gregg. They moved him out. They did it yesterday with Billy Hamilton. They decided that leadoff wasn't working out, and they decided to put a stronger hitter and on-base percentage guy up at the top, and they move Hamilton to eighth. So I think they're not afraid to start mixing things up a little bit to try to find the right combination, because they do know that they can't just get away like this the rest of the way.
Yeah, you mentioned the Billy Hamilton move, dropping him to eighth in the order. And I know some managers, I feel like sometimes they tiptoe into these things, right? They don't want to upset anybody. They want to keep, you know, and you worry about guys' psyches. You don't want to send the wrong message or force guys into pressing kinds of situations. But how's Hamilton dealt with it? How long have they been sort of, you know, leaning this way with him? It does clearly look like the right move, at least at this point of the season.
Didn't get the sense of how long it's been in the works, but definitely Hamilton talking to him yesterday, he was fine with it. He said, I can't really complain about it. Look how I'm hitting. And he understood, and he's hoping maybe in some ways the pressure of leading off will be alleviated by batting eighth. He'll not have to worry about taking pitches. He can kind of do the things that he's comfortable doing. And if nothing else, you know, a lot of eighth hitters generally get get pitched around so they can get to the pitcher, but you don't really want to pitch around Billy Hamilton and put him on first base. So that's a possibility. He might get some better pitches to hit, and then we'll just see. It's not a one day or a you know, 1 week scenario right now. He's the ace hitter going forward, and right now Zach Cozart's the leadoff hitter, so that's something they're going to miss with for the you know, at least for the time being.
And you're seeing, and they're seeing some signs that maybe Jay Bruce is going to maybe start to click a little bit?
It would seem that way. It's of course, his numbers, the batting average especially, is terrible. It's below 200, well below 200, and that's not good. But at the same time, he's had, going the last few days, some really not only good at-bats, but just some good contact. He came close to 2 grand slams in the last few days. He had 2 home runs on Saturday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. He's hitting better. He's drawing some more walks. He's second on the team in walks. So there are some positive signs. And just talking to him, you know, more than once this last few days, he says he doesn't feel any different than before. Like last year, of course, he was going through the knee thing and clearly wasn't himself, but he can't use that as an excuse this year, and he's not. And he just says he really has no excuse for why he's been hitting poorly. And he's hoping, though, like everyone else on the team, that what they've seen on Sunday and Saturday to some extent is a sign of things to come.
Gosh, you know, I mean, they're basically a middle-of-the-pack team in the National League offensively. And, you know, up until recently, Marlon Byrd hadn't contributed a whole lot there in that first month. He's caught fire. You know, the numbers up and down, other, Votto's producing, you know, Phillips is, you know, putting up decent numbers. Cozart's look good. I mean, if Bruce gets going, if Hamilton's more comfortable in the eighth spot in the order, I mean, this is an offense that could produce.
Well, it should. I mean, Votto hasn't been as 100% himself. On Sunday, he had a little blooper. That was his first extra base hit of the month. So that's not typical for him. You'd like to see, if you're the Reds, Votto driving the ball to the gaps and getting his doubles and of course hitting some home runs once in a while. That'd be what they'd like to see. But, you know, Cozart's been, despite the wrist injury he had, he's been really hot. Like Marlon Byrd has just taken off. So, that, yes, there are possibilities for the offense to do some things, but they obviously have to keep themselves in the games better with the pitching staff so they can all kind of work in harmony.
Yeah, well, yeah, no doubt that has been a major issue. What about the Devin Mesoraco drama? Where is this story now?
Well, this could be a very pivotal week. I talked to him the other day, and, of course, with the interleague play coming up in Kansas City and Cleveland, they get to use the DH again. More than likely, he'll be the DH, so he'll have a chance to hit regularly. But he told me he planned on giving catching a shot on the side this week. It'd be the first time he's ever really gone in the crouch since April 11th. So it's been almost 40 days or so. He's gonna give it a shot, and if it does work, they'll keep trying some more and eventually practice enough so that he could catch in a game. If it doesn't work, and he knows immediately that it's a no go, he'll probably elect for the surgery because he realizes, of course, that he can't be a pinch hitter the rest of the year. That's just not going to work. They want to get him ready for next year if that's the case.
Yeah, boy. And then, you know, you've touched on the pitching a little bit, but I guess a little setback for Manny Parra, and then just the really disappointing news about Marshall. Done for the year?
Yeah, it's you feel bad for him. He's a guy that's always made the effort and is a good guy, and he's worked hard to try to come back from the last shoulder surgery. And I really, of course, when you deal with a shoulder surgery, you don't expect guys, you can't automatically expect them to come back and be 100% right out of the gate. And you kind of got the signs that he hadn't been around much, so that you wondered if he wasn't making much progress. And I'd asked recently if he had been throwing, and I was told he hadn't been. And then, of course, we get this news that he needs surgery on Wednesday. It's going to end the season, and it's the capsule that's torn, which is really bad news. It's going to be very hard for him to come back from that. But you know, you wish him the best and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, as always, a lot going on around the Cincinnati Reds. Just 2 games under 500, and now a little American League road trip for them. And Mark Sheldon, great stuff, man. Enjoy the week, and we'll do it again in about 7 days.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Mark Sheldon, MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.